Second Corinthians, Kevin, in the Living Bible. Are you ready for this tonight, folks? You are ready. The third chapter and the fifth verse. Let's see how that reads in the Living Bible.
2 Corinthians 3:5. And not because we think we can do anything of lasting value by ourselves.
You can't do it, folks. In other words, your worth is zero. Say, my worth is zero. That's what it's talking about. You can't do it. You're not going to get it by yourself. Your sufficiency is not you. Your worth is zero. Read that again, Kevin.
Not because we think we can do anything of lasting value by ourselves.
You see, it says here in the King James, not that we are sufficient of ourselves. You're not sufficient of yourselves to think anything as of ourselves. But our sufficiency is of what? God. So well, how does it read? Continue in that fifth verse. Start from, read it right from the beginning. Fifth verse.
And not because we think we can do anything of lasting value by ourselves. Our only power and success comes from God.
Your power and your success comes from God. Your worth is zero. It's not what you are capable of doing. It's your sufficiency. Not that we think we are sufficient of ourselves. Remember when Peter and James went to the temple to pray? And it was Peter and John went up to the temple to pray. And it was at 3 o'clock. And there we go with the number 3 again. I said, are you here? It said, a certain man lame, it was the 9th hour in the first verse, which is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Say, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That was Acts in the 3rd chapter. Peter and John went together into the temple of the house of prayer, being the 9th hour, which is at 3 in the afternoon. Jesus was put on the cross at 9 in the morning. And at 3 in the afternoon, he said it was finished. Because when the priest would offer up a lamb as a sacrifice, it was at 3 in the afternoon, and they would put that lamb on the offering and cut the lamb's throat and said, it is finished. But Jesus said, no longer do you have to sacrifice any lambs on the altar. He said, it is finished. He spoke the words that the priest spoke that would cut the lamb's throat. Jesus said, it is finished. You don't have to offer up the sacrifice of animals anymore. He did the work. And the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. Because man could not rent that from the top to the bottom, but they could have rent it from the bottom up. That's why it says it was rent from the top down. Because God is showing that man had nothing to do with you getting to God the Father. It was through Jesus Christ, and that's why the veil was rent from the top to the bottom. It didn't say from the bottom up, from the top down. So God himself, I said, was the one when Jesus was on the cross and the veil was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. God had to send some angelic beings that took hold of the top of that veil and rent it in twain to let you know that everyone has access to God. Can you say amen? Not a work of man. Your sufficiency is none of yourself. Your sufficiency is zero. And when you learn that, that's when God is able to bless you. That's when you can say, not my will, but thine be done. So, Kevin, here is Peter and John in the temple, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they see a man there that needs a miracle. And Peter said, silver and gold I have none, because the man was begging. And Peter said, my money ain't going to help you. I've got something more, because healing cannot be bought with money. I'll tell you, healing cannot be bought with money. Amen. Given to God is worship, but you don't buy anything from God. Your value is zero. What you do is zero, but your sufficiency is of God. God is the one that performs the miracles. Amen. So it says, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Isn't this great? Isn't this great? That when you can learn you have something that's more valuable than money. How many know what you have tonight is more valuable than money? Money can't buy happiness. Money can't buy healing. Money can't buy joy in the world. People think if they have things that they will be happy. But God is trying to show you something. You have something more valuable than things. Can you say amen? We're not going to give you money. He took them by the right hand in Acts 3 and 7, lifted them up immediately. His feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God, just like Irene tonight. Walking and leaping and praising God. I said, Irene, take your shoes off. You can sing better. Amen. It's hard for a woman to leap with high heels. Walking and leaping and praising God. No one told them to do it. Folks come in the church, you know, they drag themselves in. This man went to church in the spirit. He went there excited. He said he was walking and leaping. Walking and leaping. Walking and leaping. Some people walk and they... That's about as far as they go. Little exercise, you know. But this man here was walking and leaping. And he was praising God as he was walking and leaping. Listen, when you come to church, get excited. Get excited. Get excited. This man here, he leaped in and said, listen, you made it this far. God says you're going to make it the rest of the way. He told his disciples when they crossed the Sea of Galilee, he said, we're going to cross to the other side. And that's why he fell asleep, because when God gives his word, he is going to bring it to pass. You are going to make it. You are going to make it. And that's when he fell asleep. He didn't sit there worrying about it. A storm arises. The disciples didn't hear what he said. It's a shame that people don't listen to what God has to say. Amen. He told them they were going to make it, but they were afraid and they woke Jesus up. I mean, who can sleep in a storm? But he was sleeping in a storm. I mean, I've been out fishing on a boat without a storm, and I get seasick just from a little rocking. I never thought I could wish to die. I got so seasick, I wish somebody had pushed me off the boat. Mm-hmm. Hello? Now I know how Elijah felt when he wished to die. But God wouldn't let me die. He had me want me to be here for school of the prophets. Amen. Elijah, you can't even die when you want, when God chooses you. Amen. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, but guess what? God saw that he got there. He took a ship. He was going to go on an excursion trip. He says, well, God won't see me. I'll get in the ship and I'll get out of town. Well, God saw him. A storm arose. And when they threw Jonah out of the boat, God had a great fish prepared. The fish came and swallowed him up. And then vomited him up 3 days later on the shores of Nineveh, of Iraq. Actually, it wasn't the shore of Nineveh, but it was Iraq, and Nineveh is further in, and you'll check it on the map that Nineveh is in Iraq. Isn't it strange that everything that's going on in the Middle East is centered right in there, and that's where Jonah was sent to preach. And that's where Abraham was called out of. Now, the word Hebrew means from across the water. He had to cross the waters to get to Canaan. What rivers did he cross, Kevin?
The Tigris and the Euphrates.
Where were they? They were in the Garden of Eden. I want to tell you something. In that area is where the Garden of Eden was, because we know there were four rivers in the garden, but there, those two, we definitely know that they're mentioned there. And he had to cross those two rivers to get over to Canaan when God called him. So the word Hebrew means from across the water. Everybody say from across the water.
Across the water.
Hallelujah. Amen. I get excited about this, don't you? Makes me want to leap. Makes me want to shout. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. A lot of people are crippled in their spirits. Amen. A lot of people are crippled in their spirit, man. But when God touches you, I said, people are going to be amazed. They say, wasn't that sad sack at one time? Man, no longer they are sad sack. Look at that. They're praising God. There's a difference in their countenance. They're leaping. They're shouting. Something different has happened in their life. The world can see it. Not only in church, they'll see it outside these doors. Can you say amen? But people are under this conviction, unless they're prospering, you know, with all kinds of money, that they've done something wrong in their life. That's not true. That's not true. That's a lie from the pits of hell. But that's what's being taught today. The prosperity message. Like what was told Adam and Eve in the garden, you know, if you eat of the tree of knowledge, you're going to be like God. Ain't what it's about. The Lord said that in this world, you're going to have your troubles. But he said, be of good courage. He said, I've overcome the world for you. Can you say amen? And what you have within here, like this man, here he was, leaping, praising the Lord. He didn't have any money. He didn't have any money. He was a beggar. He was crippled. But the Lord touches him and he's praising God. What's more, what's the greatest thing you can have but your life? Amen. A lot of sick people in the world. But when God touches you, you've got a reason to shout. When Paul and Silas were in jail, they had a reason to shout. You say, yeah, but they were in jail. No, but they had a revelation. They knew what God's word said. And because they had that revelation of what God's word said, it didn't matter if they were in jail. It said at midnight they were praising God. At midnight. They were praising God. If things don't go right for people, they won't praise the Lord. That's when you should praise the Lord. When everything is going all wrong, you should shout all the louder. Oh, hallelujah. Just shout all the louder. When everything is going all wrong, just keep praising. Because the devil's going to back off. He found out with Job, no matter what he did to Job, Job was going to go on and he was going to keep on praising the Lord. Hallelujah. No matter what he did to him, he kept on keeping on praising the Lord. Yes, he did. I said, yes, he did. 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 Me. Hallelujah. How's it read, Kevin, in Acts 3 and 12? They saw the lame man. He was healed. They were filled with amazement. And what does it say in the 12th verse?
Peter saw his opportunity, and he addressed the crowd.
He addressed I am addressing you tonight. We are addressing the crowd. You know, this man was 40 years old when this miracle took place. 40 years old. 40 years old, a cripple. No house. No money. Not married. No children. Maybe that's another reason why he was shouting. Amen. So what did Peter say, Kevin?
Men of Israel, he said, what is so surprising about this?
What is so surprising? Go on, go ahead.
And why look at us as though we, by our own power and godliness, have made this man walk?
He said what?
Why look at us?
It's not our power and it's not our godliness. Remember that. I just told you, your worth is zero. Your worth is zero. It wasn't our power. It wasn't our holiness that made this man to walk. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and the God of our fathers. Do you notice? He said the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You don't lose your identity, so you're going to have to put up with me throughout eternity. Mm-hmm. Up there, I'm going to have a new head of hair. Can you say praise the Lord? Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Think of that. You're going to have a beautiful body. You can eat all you want and not get fat. Angel food is calorie free. Say it. Angel food is calorie free.
Calorie free.
Amen. I can't wait. It said, you denied the Holy One and a murderer to be granted unto you. You killed the Prince of Life whom God hath raised from the dead. And in the 16th verse, Peter says, and his name, through faith in his name, had made this man strong whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now I'm going to go down to the 19th verse. It says, repent ye therefore. You know what the word repent means? It means to have a change of mind. That's all repentance is. A change of mind. People make it so difficult. Well, I can't give up the things that I have. There's nothing to give up. Just get a change of mind and you'll find out the things that you valued in life really don't have any value to it. When you get a change of mind, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. God gives you a new mind. Amen. And everything the world is struggling for, the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, it chokes God's word, and it is unfruitful. To me, eternity is more important than the few short years we spend here. Can you say amen? I want to live forever. How about you? Amen. I want to live in my mansion. How about you? Amen. Isn't that going to be great? Think of that. What God has prepared. You haven't seen it with the eye. You haven't heard about it with the natural ear. I have not seen nor ye heard the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But he's revealed it unto you by the Spirit. When you have this revelation in the Spirit, let them check your underwear, honey. It really don't matter.
Amen.
Don't wear underwear with holes in, you know, mama. When we were small girls, you never know, my mama said. Always make sure you have no holes in your underwear. Anyway. No marks either. Kevin, get back to Corinthians. Get back there to that fifth verse. The third chapter, 2 Corinthians. And Paul says the same thing. He's telling us exactly what Peter is saying here. What does Paul say? Start with that fifth verse again.
And not because we think we can do anything of lasting value by ourselves. Our only power and success comes from God.
Power and success. How many know God wants to see you successful in life? Amen. But in order to be successful, Moses said that you're going to have to esteem the reproach of Christ. In other words, the anointing, the reproach of Christ, Moses says in Hebrews 11. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. What was he talking about? The reproach of Christ. He was talking about leadership. The only way you can appropriate anything from God is in leadership. And the anointing makes you a leader and not a follower. God don't bless followers, he bless leaders. Amen. Don't bless followers. That's why David said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. And that word want means you shall not fail. No matter what the circumstances are, you shall not fail. That's what he's talking about. And when you have the anointing, it makes you a leader. It puts you out in front. God gives you favor. The people, you don't know why, but God gives you favor because there's an anointing upon your life which puts you out front. You don't have to push yourself out there. Like Jacob and Esau, they were in the mother's womb. Jacob wanted to come out first. They were wrestling in the mother's womb. Rebecca says, hey, God, if this pregnancy is of you, why the struggling going on? God says, two nations are in thy womb, and the elder is going to serve the younger. Jacob was trying to get out first. But Esau came out first, and Jacob came out and reached out and took hold of his brother's heel. And that's what God said right from the beginning. He said, the elder is going to serve the younger. And what God was showing, that when Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord, that his name was changed from Jacob to Israel, and Israel means God is in control. How many know God is in control? Israel means God is in control. Get it through you tonight that God is in control of your life and everything that takes place. God knows the future. He said, if you honor me today, I'll take care of tomorrow's, because God is in control. Amen. We worry about tomorrow. Well, the God that I serve has everything under control. Can you say amen? We worry about things and God has everything in control. That's what Israel means. And they think in the Middle East that they're going to overthrow Israel. Well, they ought to find out what the name means, that God is in control. Can you say praise the Lord? So they're not going to defeat God. Because God says, I'm in control of the situation. You say, but look what's going on with the terrorists. And look at them, that are innocent people that are being killed. God said, all right, I got keeping the book. He said, I got everything in control. Don't worry. It's all coming to a head. And we're getting ready to get out of here. He says, I've got it in control. Can you say amen? There's a price to pay for leadership. There's a price to pay for the anointing. For the blessings of God. Jesus said that the blessings come with persecution. Everybody say persecution. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. He told you that. You know, Peter said, Lord, we left all and followed you. Lord, Jesus says, shut up, big mouth. Don't go around telling, bragging what you left. He says, no man leaves anything for me because I'm not in debt to anybody. He said, you're going to receive houses and brethren, mothers and fathers, and you're going to have lands and houses. And he said, with it, he said, you're going to have eternal life. But he said, before that, you're going to have persecution. With the blessings come persecution. You want to be a leader? You're going to have persecution. You want to reach out like Jacob, you're going to have persecution. His name was changed to Israel. Persecution came, but he lived to be 147 years old, and his son Joseph went down to Egypt, and he turned around and blessed the family that had turned against him. He received them all. He blessed them all. And Jacob lived another 17 years in Egypt. He was 130 when he went there. And he lived 17 more years there. And 17 represents victory. I got news for you, folks. You are going to leave here with victory. And you're not going to leave defeated. I said you're going to leave here with victory. The church is not going to leave here defeated. You're not going to leave here defeated. You're going to leave with victory. Can you say amen? With the blessings of God upon your life. You see what happened to the anointing, leadership in Joseph's life? He was put in prison for 11 years. And you know what happened? While he was in prison, he was having revelations. Amen. And because of revelations and dreams that he had in prison, that's what got him out of there. I mean, who's going to have church in prison, you know? After all, Lord, look what happened to us. No, while he was there, he had the right spirit. And because he was in the spirit, it said, Lord gave him a dream. And by the dream of the butler and the baker, He told them what was going to happen. And the butler remembered, and his life was spared. And he said the baker was going to die, and the butler lived. And he remembered what Joseph told him. And because he remembered, Joseph was let out of prison. But it was what, 2 years later?
2 years later.
2 years later. It was 2 years later that the baker, that the butler remembered what Joseph told him. 2 years later. I'm not worried about people say, well, so many people have come and gone, you know, like, well, only one returned to give God the glory. But the Lord says people will return. And it's like the butler, he remembered what God, you see, God's going to bring back to people's remembrance what he has done. We are living in that day where God says he's going to give visions, he's going to give dreams. He said, you ladies are going to prophesy, so get ready. You're going to take off your shoes and you're going to shout and dance like Irene. And you say, praise the Lord.
He was put in charge of the whole jail, too. Before.
Tell him. Read it.
It's Genesis 39, 20th verse, talking about Potiphar. He threw Joseph into prison where the king's prisoners were kept in chains. But the Lord was with Joseph there, too.
The Lord was what?
He was with Joseph there also.
Was there. Listen, the eternity means more than a few short years you live here. Amen. The Lord was there with him?
Yes, he was.
And what happened?
And was kind to him by granting him favor with the chief jailer.
Ah, hallelujah. So what does it say in that fifth verse, Kevin?
It says, not because we think we can do anything of lasting value by ourselves. Our only power and success comes from God. He is the one who has helped us tell others about his new agreement to save them. We do not tell them that they must obey every law of God or die, but we tell them there is life for them from the Holy Spirit.
There is life from the Holy Spirit. It said he has made us able ministers in 2 Corinthians 3 and 6. And that word able means to stand alone. Circle that word able. And that word able minister means to, everyone say to stand alone. No, I didn't hear you. You didn't say it loud enough.
Stand alone.
In other words, you're going to be your own person. Amen. Let them check your underwear. You're going to be your own person. Can you say amen? You getting the message tonight? That's what it says, able. That word able means to stand alone. Say it again, to stand alone. Your faith isn't dependent upon someone else. It's not dependent on what they say or what they think about you. It's what God thinks. Can you say amen? God's looking for people that can dust themselves off, pick themselves up, and just keep on keeping on. Can you say hallelujah? I said, dust yourself off, pick yourself up, and keep on keeping on. That's what God is looking for. People that have courage, people that have leadership in their life, and say, devil, amen, I'm not going to be a follower of you. I'm going to be a leader. I got the anointing on my life, and I'm not going to take what you're trying to put on me. Can you say hallelujah? Oh, I feel it here tonight. I said, I feel it here tonight. My God, it gets good. He's made you able. That means to stand alone. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. You know what the letter is? The letter is the law. You know what that means? The grave. How many of the law brings you to the grave? The law kills. The law shortens your life. When the Ten Commandments were given to Moses, life was shortened from then on. Life was shortened. Before that, people lived to be hundreds of years old. But the law brings fear, and fear brings death when you're under the law. You can't even have a drink, and you got a fear driving home. And I'm not talking about Coca-Cola either. Well, I wish somebody would say, thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Pastor.
They're getting it us on the website. You know, I'm sorry, preachers, but they watch me. Yep, there it is. They jot it down. There we go. See that? I'm glad God keeps the books. Can you say amen? Let me know God keeps the books. So, not of the letter. The letter is the grave. All right? But of the spirit. For the letter killeth. You know what that means? The word killeth means a transfer of death. When you go to a church and they're preaching the letter of the law, they're transferring death from here to you. No, some of you didn't hear me. They are ministers of death because they're transferring the letter, the grave, the letter killeth. So when you hear this message preached, the letter of the law killeth, they are transferring death by the words that you hear. Remember, the centurion said, speak the word and my servant what? Will be healed. So if speaking the word can heal you, the letter of the law will kill you. They transfer death to your life. I'm telling you, your life will be cut short. When you go to these places where they don't have the revelation and they're always trying to put something on you to try to be spiritual, setting themselves up as an image before people, like when Aaron made the golden calf to give people something to worship. And that's what people are doing. Make the golden calf up here in front, and all they are doing is transferring death into your life. What does it say in the 7th verse in the Living Bible, Kevin?
2 Corinthians 3.
Yeah, 3 and 6.
Yet that old system of law that led to death began with such glory that people could not bear to look at Moses' face.
Ah! You hear what happens when you get the anointing? You hear that? People can't even look you in the eye. Hallelujah. When you get the anointing, they can't even look you in the face. Read that again, Kevin.
That old system of law that led to death began with such glory that people could not bear to look at Moses' face.
Go ahead.
For as he gave them God's law to obey, his face shone out with the very glory of God, though the brightness was already fading away. Shall we not expect far greater glory in these days?
More glory. Everybody say more glory. In what? In these days. Come on. A heavier anointing upon your life than even what, more than what Moses. So what else took place?
In these days when the Holy Spirit is giving life, if the plan that leads to doom was glorious, much more glorious is the plan that makes men right with God. In fact, the first glory as it shone from Moses' face is worth nothing at all in comparison with the overwhelming glory of the new agreement.
Oh, hallelujah. Did you see the glory all over Irene tonight? Did you see it? Irene, I saw the glory. I still see it. It's there all over you. Amen. When you let go and let God, like Irene, she lets go and lets God. I said, take your shoes off. She says, thank you, Pastor. I was waiting for that. Amen. When you learn to let go and let God, that's when the glory will hit you. Can you say amen? So what else happened here? This is good.
11th verse, so if the old system that faded into nothing was full of heavenly glory, the glory of God's new plan for our salvation is certainly far greater, for it is eternal.
All right, go down to the 17th verse. It says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. How's that read in the 17th verse?
The Lord is the Spirit who gives them life, and where He is, there is freedom from trying to be saved by keeping the laws of God.
Trying. People are trying. That's why there's so many miserable Christians that are trying to get saved. I'm glad I'm saved and I'm free. When you get saved, you get free. Can you say hallelujah? Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. He saved my soul and He made me whole. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. People are still trying to get saved. That's why there's so many unhappy Christians. But when you're free, you're happy. when you're free like the crippled man that was healed. When Peter and John went to pray at church, it was leaping and praising God, walking and leaping and praising God, because he was free from the bondage he was in. Read that one more time. That gets the cockles of my... What are cockles, Barry? Cockles of you?
Cockles.
What is it?
Seashell.
What are cockles, Evelyn? I don't know. I heard that one time. I think John Fletcher was the one that said he feels the cockles of his head. He was crazy anyway. I hope I didn't say anything wrong. Cockles of it.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Me, oh my. I don't even know how to spell it, so don't ask me. You got it? Uh-oh. Everyone say, uh-oh. What is cockles?
To wrinkle or pucker up your lips.
Oh, it makes me pucker up my lips. I knew that'd do something making you feel good. What else?
It also means one's deepest feelings or emotions.
Oh! We hit it tonight! I said we hit it tonight! My cockles! My deepest feeling and emotion. Anything else with that?
Yes, the phrase is read, the cockles of one's heart is one's deepest feelings or emotions.
The cockles of one's... You see? Didn't someone say, you see?
You see?
The cockles of one's heart. The by cockles way, of way. My heart. It's your fault, Irene. You got us all excited here tonight with you shouting out here. Anything else for cockles?
Well, a cockle could also be a weed that grows in the
brain. I don't want to hear about weeds. I want to hear the I want to hear the lips puckering up. I want to hear the deepest emotions and the cockles of your heart. That's what's fitting for that. Can you say amen? Amen. Bless old John Fletcher. I don't know where he got these words from, but he got them. Ah, 17th verse. What does it say, Kevin?
The Lord is the Spirit.
The Lord is what?
The Spirit.
The Lord is the Spirit. Go ahead.
Who gives them life. And where he is, there is freedom from trying to be saved by
Jesus. There is freedom from what?
Trying to be saved.
There's freedom from what?
From trying to be saved.
Say, I'm tired. Let me hear. I'm tired of trying to be saved. I'm tired of trying to be healed. And I'm tired of being poor. Now praise the Lord. My, oh me, oh my. My, that's touching the cockles of my heart, Barry. That touching the cockles of your heart, Brother Josie. How about you, Joe? How about you, Rondinelli? You touching your cockles? Praise the Lord.
Absolutely.
What's that, sir?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Ooh. What does it say?
The Lord is the Spirit who gives them life. And where he is, there is freedom from trying to be saved by keeping the laws of God.
Mm. That's for you tonight. If this one scripture, if nothing else got to you, if this one scripture gets to you, your whole life is going to be changed. Trying to be healed, trying to be saved, trying to get wealth. It's God's will. He'll let it happen. Stop trying so hard. Turn it over to him. Keep praising him for the victory. Can you say amen? The walls of Jericho will fall down. Can you say amen? Amen. The walls fell down. Seventh day, they shouted seven times. Read that one. I love to hear that 17. Read it one more time.
The Lord is the Spirit who gives them life.
Yes.
And where He is, there is freedom from trying to be saved by keeping the laws of God.
Read on.
But we Christians have no veil over our faces. We can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him.
Yeah, hallelujah. Amen. You're in His presence tonight. This is like a radiation treatment here. Go for radiation, huh? It affects the molecular structure of your body. You can't see radiation, but it affects your body. That's the same thing with the Spirit of God. Where God inhabits praise, God inhabits where there's happy people. Can you say amen? So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Is that right? Instead of trying to be saved, you're receiving from the Lord. Amen? So it's radiation. You're in His presence tonight. A work is being done within your life. Can you say hallelujah? Read that again, Kevin.
We Christians have no veil over our faces. We can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him.
When it works within us, Jesus on the inside, working where?
On the outside.
Jesus on the inside, working where?
On the outside.
Jesus on the inside, working where? On the outside.